And first of all, Jason, thank you for praying for me. Doesn't it feel good when somebody prays for you? When you know it, I mean, you know that we're praying for each other, but when you hear it, it just edifies you and encourages you. And Troy, thank you for the singing too. I appreciate it. I don't want to leave you out. What's the best thing about church? If someone asked you that, what would you say? You know, you could say it's our ministry here. It's maybe it's our community outreach initiatives with various Bible studies and some personal things that we do. Maybe it's our benevolence and the support of gospel preachers, you know, outside this community and certainly locally here. Maybe you'd say it's our time we spend together in prayer. Maybe it's the song service. Maybe it's the Lord's Supper on Sunday. Maybe it's our Bible classes. Maybe it's David's sermon or Ryan's sermon. It's certainly not one of mine, I promise you that. Maybe it's our work groups or your involvement or your chance to give back or your friendships or your socializations or, you know, just being around others seeking to do what's right. And I would say in part all of those things are correct, at least partially. But I think we all know the heart of the answer is the best thing about church is Jesus. And it's not even close. All those things combined make that up, but it's not even close because the best thing about church is Jesus. And so I think it's probably natural for us to get caught up in the human aspect of things, but spiritually I think that's a mistake. And I tell you, 2 weeks ago I really kind of started thinking about this after Ryan's lesson on Sunday morning when we talked about the happenings surrounding the crucifixion. And then David kind of drove it home for me Sunday night when I know he said the lesson was directed toward graduates, but really it was to all of us when he said, we've got to be careful not to make things about us. That was his first point. It's not about us. And so when you think back, if you look at Matthew 16 and in verse 15, I think that question that was answered or the question that was posed by Jesus to his disciples, I mean, literally 2,000 years ago, is still the same question that we're asking today. And when Jesus said at Caesarea Philippi, who do you say that I am? And so what the church, and let me use that term very, very loosely, and you'll see why, has become to so many is a social hour or a daycare. Maybe it's a place you pick up food or you get school supplies or you take exercise classes or you join a sports league or you get to drink coffee in the vestibule. But I think what really we need to focus on is that the church has to be, above all, we've got to hold up that crucified and resurrected Christ to a world that is living away from that. And we've got to live for that because it's up to us to proclaim that because of the people that are in need of redemption. And so that, to me, is what the church is all about. And if you take it a step further, we don't have memorials to those amenities that are really outside the scriptural authority as we studied in our Bible class tonight about the church and what is the New Testament church and, more importantly, sometimes what it's not or what man has made it not be or what man has made it to be that conflicts with God's word. But it's, you know, we do have a memorial to the one, to Jesus who came and lived an obedient life and then became a ransom for us. And so we do that on the first day of the week, obviously, but it's important fundamental truth to who we are because it centers back on Jesus and how we proclaim him. And it reminds us just again that the best thing about church is Jesus. And you think about it, if it's true in the first century and it's still true today, that it's going to be true for eternity. And it's hard, I think, for us sometimes to conceptualize, or it is for me, to think about eternity. But if you look at Ephesians, the third chapter in verse 20 and 21, it says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or that we think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And so if you think about moving the church forward, I think that's what this means. It may go sideways and it may go backward, but if you don't follow Jesus, it's not certainly not going to go forward, not going to go ahead. And it's popular and fashionable, I think, to think about how Christ or how Jesus kind of rounds out our life. And I think sometimes we paint that picture of, you know, he's the the whipped cream and the cherry on top of a life that's just, you know, very pleasant and something we're called to do. But I think it's much more radical, if you kind of think about it, to maintain that that's not what he is. Colossians 3, verse 4, you know, he's our life. It says that when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you'll be also revealed with him in glory. And that's incumbent upon us to take up our cross and to follow him so that we can find that abundance. I mean, that's what it tells us in Luke 9, verse 23. He says, and he was saying to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he's got to deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And that whole notion of abundance, I mean, it's taught in John 10, verse 10, where he says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And so I think we can have that, but before we can win the world to Christ, we've got to be one to Christ, and the church has to be one to Christ. And so I think we've got to be thoroughly convinced, as I think most of us are, but we've got to practice those true, utter convictions that we are not the answer in any shape, form, or fashion, that we can and have to actually point away from ourselves to really point toward the risen and the returning Christ. So Jesus has always been the answer. He will always be the answer, and he will always be the best thing about the church. And so that's a very personal experience, knowing Jesus. And so it's encouraging that he invites every one of us to come and to see and to come and to know him and spend some time in his word. And I would just tell you, there's no better time than right now to get started. So if we can help you in any way tonight, I'll hope you'll come forward as we stand and sing.